there and a very warm welcome as every Friday to Bergos Now. This week it's time to talk about time, and here to talk about that with me is Martina Oettinger. Hi, Martina.
Very good, Aurelia, very good. Hi and good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, we're going to talk about watches, right?
Exactly.
Exactly. You want to dive right in?
Yes. Yeah, so on Tuesday this week, the Swiss watch experts were announced, and I would like to take this opportunity to take a closer look to the Swiss watch industry in general, and of course include the new numbers and to talk about also where the watch industry is heading to and what's next.
Perfect. Go for it.
Perfect. So let me start with the Swiss watch market in general. So over the past two decades, the Swiss watch industry has experienced actually quite solid growth rates. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this environment is quite complex and dynamic, I would say, because, I will talk about this later. And Switzerland, of course, is holding a very interesting spot in that industry. It's quite a unique position, especially in the top segment of this industry. And I would say that product branding, also the capacity for innovation, and of course the tradition of its major players, all of these factors have enabled the industry to remain resilient also despite changing market conditions and despite crisis. Mm-hmm. But maybe let me briefly explain some definitions. So in the following, I will use the term high-end, and high-end refers to watches worth more than 3,000 Swiss francs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the way, actually, it's estimated that 95% of all the watches worth more than 10,000 Swiss francs are produced in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So that's quite an interesting number, I would say.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's continue with the theme high-end watches. So in recent years, most high-end watches have been the drivers for growth in this export numbers. And the data also shows that the high-end market segment was at least or the least affected by the pandemic also. Mm-hmm. However, on the contrary, there is a clear downward trend in the low-end segment, particularly also the launch of the Apple Watch in 2015. Was a step where this segment has faced increased competition from these smartwatches, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And yeah, moreover, the decline of these low-end watches was even accelerated by COVID-19. I guess also because people were more aware about their health and they wanted to track this probably more with the watches. And also the Swiss label was less demanded for this price segment.
And Martina, tell me, because I mean, mine is really purely, based on anecdotes that friends were trying to get watches and it seemed like nobody could get what they wanted, maybe for a Christmas gift or to give to their loved ones or buy it for themselves, of course, anywhere anymore. It seems like a really stringent situation for the luxury watch market. So when we're looking at December exports, what does the data tell us about the year? Was it like I heard it to be?
It's exactly the situation that we have at the moment. There are quite a long waiting list.
Yeah.
Or waiting lists. And let's dig into the numbers first, and I will talk about this the other thing later on. So the Swiss watch export data for December has just been published, as I said, on Tuesday this week. And let me briefly, take a look back also to the years 2021 and 2022. 2021 was a quicker than expected recovery from COVID. And And also the strongest year for the Swiss watch industry ever. It even bet the record year 2014. And as you heard many times, the year 2022 was a year with substantial shocks and substantial crisis also. We were entering a period of higher interest rates in response to the inflation, which also peaked. We saw ongoing supply chain issues due to lockdowns, and we saw increased geopolitical risks, not only Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but also the Taiwan issue and the differences regarding its undecided national status, which were fueling the tensions between the US and China also.
Yeah.
So the inevitable consequence of this is that consumer behavior will adjust and that also the watch industry will be affected. However, you know, this was just an estimate, but the luxury stocks, they proved to be very, very resilient over this time, more than anticipated by most in early 2022. And the derating, which was mostly due to rising interest rates throughout the year, was offset by solid demand last year. And also valuation multiples are now back on historical averages. The industry growth this year should be back to mean. And this makes the sector actually relatively attractive. But Dennis said something about the luxury sector in the beginning of January. So I want to refer to the other podcast. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
It was the first one of the year. Yeah.
Not only luxury stocks proved more resilient, also the Swiss watch industry. So growth in Swiss watch exports continued again in December, though at a slower pace than the annual average. And for the whole 2022, exports amounted 24.8 billion Swiss francs.
Wow, yeah.
It's an increase of 11.4% compared to 2021. And even further growth. So main growth drivers were watches made from precious metals, as well as the high-end watches that I explained earlier, but also watches priced less than 200 francs saw increased export volumes. So there was again some demand for this segment. And conversely, watches priced between 200 and 3,000 Swiss francs, they were down, or they lost ground by 16.2%.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, and also by region, we noticed a significant increase in most markets, except for China and Hong Kong, which saw a decrease of 13.6% and 10.5% respectively. And only 4 months saw a positive year-over-year result in China, and only one in Hong Kong in 2022. And meanwhile, performance in some relatively important markets, such as the US, Singapore, and Japan, remained solid. And yeah, for instance, the year-over-year export growth to Singapore was plus 26.4%.
Wow, that sounds like, I mean, it's a pretty steady market, maybe not quite so much in China, but generally pretty good.
Exactly. And the China is actually now the perfect bridge to the next, or to what I want to say next. because, you know, for the past 2 years, the US, they have been the biggest single market for the Swiss watch industry with many, many exported watches in 2022. Hong Kong as markets continued to decline as China did, as I just said. And they still have to recover from their pre-COVID levels and of their export share, because they actually also are quite significant markets to the Swiss watch exports. And Europe and Japan remained stable with 30% and 6% respectively. And the trajectory of of the watch exports to China and the US, it has deferred. Exports to the US have maintained a positive trend, except for a sharp decline during the pandemic, and the situation in China is very different from that of the US. Exports to China were a lifeline to many brands in 2020, but then the trend has reversed. And this is because of China's zero COVID policy,
yeah,
and also the ongoing regional lockdowns. Monthly exports to China have dropped below 100 million in April. And they are nearly as low as at the beginning of 2020. So lockdowns also affected deliveries of products bought via e-commerce. And yeah, this of course also dropped consumers' willingness to buy.
Yeah, of course. Martina, taking walks here in Zurich a couple of times this year, noticed pretty long lines outside certain certain stores.
I saw them too.
Yes, I think, a lot of people that live in cities with stores did see this. Can you kind of give me a comparison of price levels and, you know, just the success of the Moonwatch?
So, yes, Aurelia, compared to 2021, the value of watches with export prices above 3,000, they increased by 15.6% in 2022. Volumes were also up more or less in that range. And those priced between 500 and 3,000, they also experienced growth in value and in volume, however, on a rather low single-digit percentage number. And although this was mainly propelled by mechanical watches in the upper range of that segment, which is watches between 2,000 and 3,000 Swiss francs. So by contrast, sales of watches priced between 200 and 500, they decreased by 24% in value. And however, the and now it's your Moonwatch.
Yeah.
The cosmic success, I have to say, because I really also saw the queues everywhere you went.
Yeah.
Bigger cities in the mountains. I saw really a lot of people queuing.
Mm.
So this Moonwatch was launched in March 2022 by Swatch and Omega. And it has changed the tide for entry-level watches, at least temporarily.
Mm.
And it seemed to be a success. It was attracting new fans to the industry.
And is there more of that to come? What do you think is the next trend? Or what's next in 2023? I guess we're still at the beginning of the year and it's a rightful question to ask.
Yes. Yes, so I guess there are two global themes for 2023, which is the reopening of China or Asia in more general, and also the disinflation in the West. And yeah, I believe that dynamics continue to shift between East and West, with the US maintaining its position as the most important market in terms of these exported watches for the second year in the row. However, the reality is more nuanced, and specifically China and Asia in a broader context remain really, really a crucial part to the Swiss watch industry, and particularly to those brands operating in the high end and ultra high end of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, through July and September, mainland China demand rebounded, with October, November demand once again impacted by severe COVID-related traffic disruptions. Also, particularly in important luxury provinces such as Guangdong, and pardon me if I mispronunciated this city. however, on November 10, the Politburo meeting sent a clear message regarding the optimization of COVID policy and preparations for relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as a response, luxury share prices have outperformed in a rally. bioted by these rumors of COVID-19 policy shift in mainland China. And I think we are confident to believe that Chinese consumer appetite for luxury products, and hence also watches, remains strong. However, currently we see demand below the trend, which is maybe also due to the inability to access markets with cheaper price points and also COVID volatility.
Martina, thank you. That was mainly China. But where is the watch industry headed, let's say, in the rest of the world for 2023?
I think it's actually a tricky question because, of course, nobody has a crystal ball. But as I said earlier, the watch industry is quite a complex and dynamic industry. And it's not only about trying new materials or new designs, etc., but it's also about finding new distribution channels. So I guess going digital, be active on social media platforms, besides all the wearable technologies, is an important shift. Also, the popularity of watches has just skyrocketed over the past decade. And social media, amongst other external factors, has, of course, played a significant role in this trend. And yeah, the accessibility of watches in the modern era has contributed to their rising profile and demand. So I would say this: the watch industry has evolved from being just about watches towards building a whole community. And while we saw the success of several watch events domestically and also internationally, 2023 has also a lot more in store than you might expect, I would say.
Well, you just triggered your thought in me, Martina. I mean, we kind of never really touched on this whole craziness of NFTs, metaverse, potential for any kind of Web3 applications for the watch industry. Is there something remarkable there?
Yes, of course. So, you know, I don't know how your behavior is with smartwatches, but many consumers are really concerned over this big tech using their personal data. And I guess even though these concerns exist, there remains potential for NFTs, Web3, and of course the metaverse. And I saw a study published by Deloitte saying that 57% of brands that where they made a survey with, they were planning to launch an NFT in the next 12 months. So apparently they will launch NFTs for three main reasons, which is offering a digital twin of an actual watch, certification purposes, and also as a wearable accessory in the metaverse. In 2021, LVMH, Prada Group and Cartier joined the forces and they created the Aura Blockchain Consortium with the aim of setting standards for the luxury industry in innovation in transparency and blockchain technology. And yeah, consumer can access products or the product history and the proof of authenticity from sourcing to sales and all the way to secondary markets by just using technologies such as NFTs, QR codes, and so on.
Yeah, I think that we talk about this a bit more in depth when we talk about art sometimes, right? Like last year, the applicability of NFTs to, you know, real world artworks, so not NFT digital works, but how they can serve as authenticity certifications. I guess that this also applies to the luxury goods markets. Super interesting. I'm excited to hear more about that this year, maybe. Martina, last words.
Yeah, so to conclude, the Swiss watch industry, it comprises and it supports a complex ecosystem. And I would say its future success depends on respecting its heritage, while also, of course, embracing the possibilities that lie ahead, and with its longevity and innovative mindset, I would say the Swiss watch industry has all the components it needs to successfully recalibrate for the future.
And lovely last words. Thank you so much, Martina, for today.
Thank you, Aurelia.
And we thank you, as always, a lot for listening. We'll be back with more from Bergers Now on Friday. And as always, I'm wishing you a beautiful weekend and a pleasant and successful week ahead. Bye-bye.